Welcome to part two of our conversation about spirit guides with Chris Garcia.
So when we're talking about a Ouija board versus, say, a spirit box of some sort that generates words, you know, literally generates words and can sometimes produce very interesting results, almost back and forth conversations. Is an object like that or a device like that not a vortex to the other side where such lower level entities can come through?
Honestly, from my point of view, I would say no, but they can come through. I guess it's just more safer, you know. But if you have this fear, and this is one thing I've always known, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I think if you put bad intention on the device, on an EVP, then you would have a bad experience because you believe it.
Okay.
But if you keep yourself positive, you know, more no matter if something bad comes from it, as long as you don't give into it and you don't show fear, it shouldn't be able to do anything to you. That's the only thing difference between spirit box and a Ouija board. It's something totally different, even though they use the same kind of communication, but I think the Ouija board has more things that are a mystery to us that we still haven't acknowledged and aware of.
Let me ask you this. Does a Ouija board itself, just without being used, it's in the box from Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley, I forget who owns that or makes it, just sitting there on its own, let's say never used first. Is there anything to it? Is there any power to it without human interaction? Is there any danger associated with that cardboard board that has the letters on it and the numbers on it and all the recognizable symbols of a Ouija board? Is it just a piece of cardboard at that point until it's actually used by a human being?
Okay, that's interesting what they just told me. It's really just the board itself. But if it's something that's trying to come out, that maybe somebody touched it. Because I've seen Ouija boards at certain stores where they just have the whole damn thing out. Mm-hmm. So if they touch it, then it can be used because you already put energy into it. Now, if it's not been used, I'm being told that there is like a doorway, but I think it's harder for them to come out until you take it out of the box without even touching it. So in other words, once you expose it into, okay, now that's weird. Why are they telling me that? Oh God. Okay. Once you take it out of the box, you expose it to the public and all the elements, air, you know, it's you're giving it life, because when you leave it in the box, it's like you keep it binded and closed to where it can't breathe. Does that make sense?
Okay.
That's what they're telling me. Don't ask me why.
Sure.
But that's what they're telling me. So that is kind of weird.
It's because you see, especially today, and well, more specifically in Halloween season, you'll see, you know, Ouija board coffee tables. You'll see Ouija boards on shirts. You'll see them on gum packets sometimes. and you look at it and go, oh, that's, you know, it's spooky. It's supposed to represent a Ouija board. But does it matter where it is or what it's, you know, what the object that print essentially is put onto, in terms of its power, versus that classic board that we all know?
I think if you, like to say, like if you don't have the board, and this is what I'm being told, if you write it down on a piece of paper exactly the way to it is on the T, that's a doorway too. You can write it on a piece of paper and it's the same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
It's the same thing. It doesn't make any difference, no matter if it's just a piece of paper, because once you put on a piece of paper, then you're actually imprinting what a Ouija board is doing, but on a piece of paper or a cardboard, just a regular cardboard. You know how, like when you get a box and you say, you know, let me just cut this cardboard in half and just put the letters. Is it going to put the same energy as the board? I'm being told, yes, it will.
Okay. It's an interesting thing because I've had people ask me the question. And basically state, I don't want to use a Ouija board. I have no interest in it, but I love decorating for Halloween and I'd love to use one in a wreath or something. Is that a safe thing to do, to have it just as a piece of decor for the season of Halloween, because it's so synonymous with that. But basically, involving it in any way, shape, or form holds some sort of a risk is what I'm getting out of this.
Yes, it is. That is correct, Tony. You're actually opening a door waiting to be opened.
Okay.
Is what they're telling me. So if you even put it as something outside for Halloween, I wouldn't recommend it.
Sure. And I would also imagine, on that same note, that one that you're buying secondhand through a thrift store or a garage sale or what have you would probably have even more, I guess, potential danger associated with it, because it has possibly been used and you would have no idea as to what way it's been used.
Yes, that is correct. Especially like, because over here we have thrift stores too, where people do garage sales. So they're trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's already been opened, you're right. You don't know who's used it, who's touched it, what they've asked. So it's just more of a doorway. All you got to do is just, when you buy it, you're actually giving them the money. And that's weird, because in my mind, I'm seeing money in my head, and I'm seeing you giving them the money. So when you give them the money, it takes some of the stuff they went through off of them, and it goes on to you, because you're doing an exchangement.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're telling me.
Interesting. So, I mean, it's one of those things that sometimes people talk about, and I'm sorry, we're stuck on Ouija boards, but it's interesting, because I'm really enjoying your insight on this, and it's a topic that comes up quite frequently. The exchange of it, people oftentimes, I get asked, well, we had something happen after using it, we closed it, things have, in fact, calmed down, but we don't want this board anymore. What is the best way to get rid of it? And to prevent anything else from happening in someone's home. What I've been told many a times over the years is go and bury it somewhere. Don't burn it, but go and bury it. I suppose the more irresponsible route may be sell it to someone else. But what would you advise someone if they said, I got this Ouija board, there's nothing else going on anymore, things have calmed down, have stopped, but I don't want this in my house anymore, but I don't know the best way to dispose of it?
I would say just to either get rid of it and just get, like, to bury it. But you have to, before you get rid of it, I would say you have to do, like, you don't have to talk to it. Just put a binding thing and just say, you know, I don't want this. I bind you. And then you just bury it. But don't, of course, don't bury it in your backyard. But just bury it somewhere where you know it will not, nothing, it won't harm no one else. And that's something that's kind of interesting, because they're telling me you don't know where to bury it, because you're just like, what if somebody buys a property here?
Yeah.
What if someone... So that's the chance you're taking. So I guess whatever you get that stands out, maybe like out in the desert somewhere, because many people go to the desert, so I would be told to bury it in an area where there's not that many people, or not many people would be attracted to it. So it's got to be in an area where it's not going to draw attention, or an area where you just have to go with your intuition and say, okay, you know what? I know they're not going to buy houses, or they're not going to build anything out here. So you know that, bury it.
A neutral area where it's very likely that no one is ever going to find it in any, you know. So basically, get rid of it as if you were getting rid of a body.
Yeah, kind of exactly.
What you're
talking
about.
But just make sure that you bind it.
Yeah.
When you do it, you just get rid of it. You don't just put it in the box. Okay, I'll just throw you away, because some of them can get offended, especially on the other side, through that board. But I would say just make sure that you know what's weird? I don't know why I'm seeing that. Okay, well, when you bury it, they're telling me to tell the people to either put something black all over the box, like the box that it still comes in, to put black over it, which may mean maybe plastic that's black wrapping, or maybe a black bag, tie it three times, which is weird, and I'm being told that. Then you just make sure that you have everything in there, even to that little object that moves
the
with planchette. The board.
Yeah.
And then you bury it.
Okay.
So you have to, in other words, put something over it, because when you put black, that just binds anything, you know, from even the box to the board itself, and it keeps it at bay to where it just, nothing can come through it.
Sure.
Because you put like a like a cover over it. It's almost like when they say, when there's different people that have different beliefs, that when a person dies, you cover your mirrors because the spirits can go through mirrors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's move off Ouija boards. Let's talk about something that you had mentioned early on in our conversation. You had used the term that at the age of 10, you had been abducted. Can you explain to us what happened and what you mean by that?
Well, when that happened, I was about 10. I remember I was asleep, and I remember it because I could see my body floating in it, midair. Once it got to the ceiling in my sleep, I was thinking, where am I going? Because I actually felt like it was a dream, but I knew it was an abduction. And then what they did was just, right when I was at the ceiling, all they did was just like suck me up. And then before I know it, I was in a ship. I remember laying down on the metal table. I remember, I guess, because there's different types of aliens. And if I remember correctly, they were like the gray ones. There was like two tall ones and two little ones. I couldn't see what was behind me because, of course, it was almost like they were reading my mind, because at that time I couldn't talk. So it was basically just telepathically. Mm-hmm. They were talking to me and saying that, don't worry, we're not going to hurt you. And I was actually talking to them, and I said, what am I doing here? And they just gave me this look, we're just wanting to see, you know, we want to do research on, you know, what you have acknowledged and what you can share with us. And at the time, I was, I ain't gonna lie to you, it was kind of like a little bit of startled, but it wasn't really something that was terrifying. I was just wondering, like, what am I doing here? And then I asked them, I said, where are we? And they said, well, we can't tell you where we are. So they told me that. And then while I was doing that, I kept in my mind's eye, I kept trying to look around to see if there was anybody else in the ship that they have abducted. But the only thing is that I couldn't see them, but I could feel that there was other people on the ship, but they were on the other part of the ship while they were experimenting on me.
How do you come to the conclusion that you were on a ship?
Because I remember it. I remember it to the day.
Like, and you actually saw the ship itself?
No, I could see, like, I could see them looking right down at me.
Okay. But the setting itself, could that not have been simply another place and time, another location? I guess, where do you go to assume, or what evidence do you have that points to it being a literally, you say ship, you know, we think of almost floating object. Are you sure that it was a ship, or is that just a term you kind of generally use for wherever they took you?
Well, honestly, I personally feel that it was a ship.
Okay.
It is something that I feel, because I know that I was not here, because when I was brought back, they actually brought me back in a way where I had markings on my body. So I knew that I was not just imagining things. And throughout the years, with that being said, I want to say, if I remember correctly, they didn't just do it once. They did it maybe like, off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was like maybe two more times, if I remember right. But other profound times, I want to feel like I've been abducted, but in those times, I don't remember. I guess because they kind of acknowledged that I was aware that I was not. And it was weird, though, Tony, because it felt like I was somewhere else, and I knew that there was no time, because where they take you, you're not in this time. And I asked them, where was I? And they did not want to tell me. So that is very profound, and even though I might not have physical proof, but the fact on the point of me acknowledging what they look like, that I know that I was not in a different time or I didn't astral travel. I know that it did happen to me because I remember.
It's an interesting world where we're talking about paranormal, we're talking about supernatural, ghostly things, spiritual things, guides, and then the intersection of aliens, of crafts and being abducted. When you discuss these things or you ask your guides, what the hell was that? What sort of answer do you get back?
Honestly, they told me that when I was abducted, they just told me that I was, that they said you were abducted. And I was thinking, why? And then it was weird because somebody else told me something that they were related to me in that past life too, that that we are their DNA, they are our ancestors. And most people that are psychic are more profound to be abducted because we have a connection with those beings. Mm-hmm. But there is other beings, but I just can't remember on the top of my head, but there is different types of aliens, and they have different objectives that they want to do with you. Not everyone is the same. Like maybe the gray ones and the purple ones might have different objectives or different things that they want to do. Not all of them are the same, even though they're the same alien, but they might do something different. Like the gray ones from the purple ones might do a little something more different from the green ones. You know, it just depends on the species of the aliens.
And that's an interesting word you just used, species. When we're talking about aliens, and we don't usually talk about aliens on this program, but we're going down that road, so every once in a while it's interesting because sometimes the two do seem to intersect. When we're talking about that, are we talking about, and this is just, it's your opinion, and that's what I'm interested in, is are aliens what the beings that you believe had abducted you at the age of 10, were those literally physical beings with life of their own? They can live, they can die by their own universe, by their own ecosystem, by how they operate. Are they physical, literal beings, or is there an intersection there into the supernatural world where they would have, you know, the powers of ghosts, of spirit guides, of things of that nature? Or are they more so operating on our level of playing field, but they just have so much advanced technology that it just pales in comparison to what we can do?
Honestly, to me, I just feel like they are a physical species. Mm-hmm. And their vibration is completely different from ours, especially the aircraft.
Yeah.
That we have, their technology is so advanced, it's beyond belief. But they do have very bright intelligence. Their communication, they do not talk. They talk by their mouth and by their eyes. So, you know, they have the, and be, with what you said, they are physical species, but they're also within the realm of supernatural, because it's something that, you know, you wonder, where do they come from? Where is their home? Where is their existence? And it's funny because in what I'm being told is that they're from beyond this galaxy. So they're, in other words, far, far, far away from where we are.
Does the worlds and maybe I should say ecosystems of the supernatural ghosts and things of that nature that we interact with here on this planet, that we have those experiences with, do they ever intersect with the spirit, or not with the spirit world, but with the alien worlds from another galaxy? Or are they completely separate ecosystems that really have nothing to do with one another?
Honestly, I think they do talk, but they stay away from them. But I think there is like a link there, that to where they, if they need to talk to them, they can talk to them telepathically. But if it was like a one-to-one basis, I don't feel like they can talk to them. It have to be with telepathic. And it's funny because I'm hearing telekinesis, so they also have the ability to move objects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they it's a different kind of link, is what I'm being told. It's almost like, and it's weird, I don't even know why I'm being told that. It's a bridge. It's what I'm being told, so to speak. There's a bridge between them and the other side. Now, the aliens, do they communicate with ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being told it's like in the middle. So they do acknowledge that they're there, but they really don't pay attention to them because they're on a total different frequency.
Okay. It's such a fascinating topic of where, you know, it all can go and what connects to what and when. How often do you think it is that individuals have a supernatural or a paranormal experience that they attribute to something ghostly, in terms of how we generalize ghosts here in our world, when in fact it wasn't a ghostly encounter, but it was in fact something that was more extraterrestrial from another galaxy, alien-like.
Mm-hmm. So I think to me, when people, how many times do people experience things? I think to me, this is weird that you mentioned that, because I have always noticed that the people that are more acknowledgeable or profound to experience supernatural or paranormal experiences, mm-hmm. I would say the ones that are skeptical, the ones that are disbelief, people that are thinking that we're the only ones on this planet. I think they're the ones that are more vulnerable to get different type of experiences. Like to see Bigfoot would be another subject, but you know, that's just, you know, whatever paranormal experience or supernatural experience, I think the people that are more unaware of these beings of any different type of realms, like fairies, Bigfoot, aliens, they're more profound to experience it. And why are they the target? I guess because they need to be acknowledged that there is another world that we don't know of, because there is portal, there is vortex. There is bridges from one bridge from the supernatural, the paranormal, to the aliens. There's bridges, but it's just that we just don't see it because we cannot physically see it. We know it's there. We just can't see how they come from their time to our time.
That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Chris Garcia about spirit guides. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his insight. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.